Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and American. Welcome to a awesome and another great edition of Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host this evening. Oh, don't worry, we haven't gotten rid of Annie. She'll be with us shortly. She'll be calling in shortly, I should say. Annie, are you here?
I'm on the line.
Oh, there she is, everybody. We couldn't get rid of her. Well, Annie, why don't you go ahead and do the intro? And then, man, when I thought I was taking the show over, for God's sake.
For those who don't know, that I am on the road, so I'm calling in from a remote location. So welcome to Southern Sense. I am your hostess, Annie, the radio chick, the hostess with the mostest, with the coolest of co-hosts, today hosting Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mike. Hello? Hello?
Sorry about that, Annie. Great to be here.
Okay. I just thought I lost you for a second. Anyway, people that know the show, we start off with our announcements and let you know we've got the Lieutenant Dan Weekend coming up. This is September 13th through the 15th, and we will be broadcasting live on behalf of the wounded veterans from Cat Island, the golf course, from their club there. So Cool Mike will be on with the wounded veterans as we introduce them and have them come on and talk, and you can call in and talk to them. So remember to listen to us on the 14th for that. Do you have anything else, Mike? Hello? Mike, did I lose you again? Okay. Someone in the chat room, let me know if you can hear me on the air, because I cannot hear anyone else. Hello?
All righty, I think I'm back. Annie. Sorry about that, everybody. We are back. I had an issue with the was actually a Skype, not a Skype issue, a Blog Talk Radio issue. But anyway, we are back. Hopefully we'll have Annie very, very shortly back patched in. So, all right.
Am I back?
You are back too, Annie. Sorry about that. That was on my end. It was my monitor just blanked right out. I heard you say, Mike, are you there? So, but no, I'm glad everything is well. We'll pick up right where we left off, and I am super excited, but not about this show, because I'm going to tell you folks, you're going to hear glass breaking, you're going to hear things being thrown on my end, because the NDAA, as we all know, is, what would you call it, and it's the issue of...
your number one issue? The number one bug up your butt?
Yeah, well, put it this way. When it was on C-SPAN, discussed on C-SPAN, and I think I put the football through the window, and my mother said something along the lines of, it's time for you to move out or something like that. But anyway, I'm very excited. And also, you know, studying these guests, they have in-depth detail about what's taking place. I mean, sometimes you just want to smack people on the side of the head because, I mean, these things that are taking place, here's people who can tell you exactly in detail what exactly it means, what it means for us as Americans, what it gives government, what type of power that the Founding Fathers never wanted. But anyway, with that being said, I mean, this of all right,
well,
issues in the election,
we'll do the
this should be the biggest.
All right, well, Mike, we'll do the dedication to our Army fallen hero towards the end of the show. So let's bring Dr. Kaufman on.
Okay. Dr. Kaufman, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Have to apologize for the difficulty because I'm broadcasting from a remote location, so it's kind of like messing things up today.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. Good old electronics.
Well,
they work,
you know,
great,
Doc,
when they work great, but other than that, they're a pain in the neck.
The truth of the matter is, Doc, is that with this show, Annie has brought it to the number one on PTR. She's broadcasting from underground for her own protection.
Interesting.
But welcome, Mr. I'm really glad. We're really glad to have you. Annie and myself are really happy to have you here. Why don't you start out by introducing yourself and tell everybody a little bit about, about Dr. Kaufman up until now, and then we'll get into the dirt.
Yes, I have a PhD in ecosystems analysis and climatology, a minor in climatology, and have worked extensively. That's a multi-million-dollar research effort back in the late 1980s and early 1990s on global warming. So I'm somewhat of an expert on that particular issue, remain very much appraised of the ongoing research on that particular topic. Also, I have a PhD in ecosystems analysis and biological diversity and a variety of other things, which put me in a position, very unique position in the 1990s, to stop the Convention on Biological Diversity from being ratified in the U.S. Senate, and it happened just 1 hour before the ratification vote was scheduled to take place. It was a horrible, horrible treaty that basically would have turned all property rights over to the United Nations. Now, that's an overstatement, understand that. But nonetheless, that was the long-term goal of this particular effort, was to be able to control private property rights. And most of us don't understand anymore how critically important private property rights are to our freedoms, our liberties, and also wealth creation and the prosperity of our nation, because you cannot create wealth without private property rights. You can only do that by government coercion without private property rights. And you know where you and I stand under government coercion. We don't stand a chance. But with private property rights, we have the ability to actually create wealth for ourselves by buying into the stock market or buying into a business or buy a business, whatever the case might be, to begin to create wealth for ourselves personally. And, of course, the more personal wealth you create, the wealthier the nation becomes. And what we have seen over the last 40 years is a systematic attack on private property rights with a major attempt to try to get them, the private property rights, handed over to government, which is basically the form of socialism that we're seeing in Europe right now that was started back about 200 years or 300 years ago with a guy by the name of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. We have what is called a Locke model of government, where the individuals are the sovereigns over the government. The Rousseau model has the government sovereign over the individual, and all private property rights are allocated out by the government to whom it ever wants to do. Basically, it is a system based that leads ultimately to tyranny, and of course, with the socialist model that we're seeing in Europe, it's utterly in collapse at this particular point in time because they cannot be sustained. You can only keep socialism going as long as you can have other people's money to spend, and that's gone now. And is rapidly disappearing here in the United States as well. And unless we get control of this, it's going to be a major, major disaster here in the United States as well.
All right. Well, Dr. Kaufman, Agenda 21 is not a treaty, but they call it a protocol. What's the difference between the two so our listeners can understand that?
Well, a treaty basically comes usually with a set of statutes, laws, and so forth, and requirements that the nation has to actually enforce, you know, has some legal teeth behind it. What we're seeing with Agenda 21 is called soft law. It does not have statutory authority. However, because President Bush signed it back in 1992 and President Clinton implemented in the 1994 to 1996 period, I can get into that a little bit later, what we're seeing here is that the nation has voluntarily agreed to implement the requirements of Agenda 21. And Agenda 21, if you do not know, is a 40-chapter document that basically describes what humans can do, what mankind can do, almost to the infinite degree. In other words, it basically controls your life in every aspect. And I mean, when I say every aspect, I mean every aspect. It is unbelievable what this agenda has designed to do. It's a purely socialist, almost communist type of a enforcement that really, really will damage the economy. We're seeing that happen right now, especially under President Obama, but it started really under Clinton and George Bush because we have had a series of presidents that are progressive in nature, doesn't matter their political party, that are designed to increase the size and the scope and the extent of government until finally they can institute a world government. This is what most people don't understand, and they call anybody like me a space cadet because I'm talking about a world government. Folks, the United Nations has openly talked about creating a world government for over 15 years, openly. Hundreds of documents talking about this. And the only nation in this world that has not been having access to this through its media is the United States, the American people. We have been kept dumbed down, and anybody that even brings up this kind of a concept is basically scorned and ridiculed and demagogued and so forth, and to the point where we now have a citizenry because of the public education system. I have published a book just come out called Plundered, How the Progressive Ideology is Destroying America, in which I spend two chapters explaining how this ideology has taken over our public school systems and actually indoctrinating several generations of our graduating seniors into this belief system where they do not understand the basic concepts of freedom and liberty established by our founding fathers. They have no connection. And if you don't have a connection, how can you tell that something is bad? You can't. And therefore, they're willing to accept socialism. And as a consequence, when something like this comes up, they're willing to believe the mainstream media, which is also permeated with the progressive ideology, and never get the truth out. And, of course, that's what we're trying to do today.
All right. Well, you had mentioned about giving up private property, and this is directly from Agenda 21. And I believe, let me try to see, I think it was Section 3.1 in the first section.
Yep.
And it reads as land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and influences of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth and therefore contributes to social injustice. If unchecked, it may become a major obstacle in the planning and implementation of development schemes. The provision of decent dwelling and healthy conditions for the people can only be achieved if land is used in the interest of society as a whole. There it is, guys. No more private property.
Yes,
that house you just paid the mortgage for, that business that you just built up, that factory, is no longer yours.
In fact, that particular phrase is taken directly out of the protocol in 1976 of the, I'm sorry, 72 of the first Earth Summit in Stockholm, Sweden. It basically has been the guidepost of the United Nations. Everything that they have done since that period of time has been designed to draw all property rights to the state. Now, when I say the state, I mean the nation, eventually to the United Nations. And it is basic, anything that we deal with the United Nations, anything that we touch now, is connected to this idea that the state must and absolutely must control all private property rights. And by doing so, in my book I go into this in great detail, but I can only cover it in a very broad brush now. But in doing so, they destroy the ability to create wealth. See, that is the problem with the socialistic mentality, is that they look at the economy as a piece of pie that has to be divided up into infinite and small pieces for everybody to be equal. When somebody like you and I, who look at the market as the driving force, a free market as the driving force, look at that piece of pie and say, well, let's expand it so everybody gets more. That's the biggest difference between the two. Now we see that in the presidential election that we're facing here in November, is that we have one person who wants to divide and subdivide everything up equally between everyone, which will not allow any increase in the productivity and the prosperity of this country. In fact, we found out by his policies that we've lost $4,000 per family in those 4 years that he has been president because of this type of policy formulation. Instead, we have also someone else who I don't really trust a whole lot, but nonetheless, at least his ideas suggest this, that he wants to expand the economy through the free market and through private property rights. And that is the way to get us out of the mess that we're in right now. There's a very clear-cut choice for the American people to actually employ in this next November election. The unfortunate thing about it is, because we have been indoctrinated for so many generations in our public school systems, that most people can't see this. They literally can't see. You cannot see what you've never been educated to see. And as a consequence, there are 50% of the American people that think Obama's doing a fairly good job, and it can't be done any better any other way. Well, if you understand the precepts of liberty and wealth creation, as I explain in my book, Plundered, what you will see right off, very, very rapidly, is the fact that there is another way of doing it, and it has always led to increasing prosperity. Now, there is no form of economic models that will be perfect. There are ups and downs no matter what you do. But the key is the free market system always works better than the socialist system. There is just no comparison between the two. And right now we're seeing what the socialist system has done to Europe and is doing to Europe. I have studied that, and I go into it in great depth in the book, Plundered, as to what's happening in Europe that could come back and haunt us here in the United States, because most economists, now that are worth their salt, do not see a way out for the European nations. They literally do not see a way out other than through extremely high inflation or extremely bad deflation. Both of them are equally bad, no matter what you do. And we own $10 trillion. Our banks own $10 trillion of European debt. And as a consequence, if they default, which almost seems inevitable, you can't always predict with certainty, but I don't see any way out, and nobody else does too, as how they're going to get out of this debt. They're going to write off the books, and when they do, we are suddenly holding or wiped out $10 trillion off of our balance sheet that we as the American people are going to suffer terribly from.
Wow.
It's unbelievable how basically, what you just said, it's believable, but the fact of the matter is that abroad, clearly it's almost 100% implemented. We're here, they're making the move, yet we're almost standing around just, not clueless, but so many Americans just have what you just said. They would listen to what you're saying and basically say, oh, you're just talking nonsense, or they would label you. conspirator,
yeah,
or whatever the name is today, that they name somebody who that is unbelievable. Then in a sense you mentioned, it's probably abroad. It's probably too late at this point to even change. It's been it's imploded so much.
It really has, and it's very disturbing that there is a chance that we can get out of this if we elect the right key officials. And I'm not just talking about the presidency. I'm talking about Congress and your state legislatures and so forth. My book really shows the horror behind the progressive mentality. And I'm not talking about liberals, folks. I'm not talking about liberals. I'm not talking about people who basically have been indoctrinated in this belief because they want to do the right thing for on the average. But they have never been told the other side of the story. They have been taught that socialism is the way to go. And when you have that as a worldview, how can you possibly understand, unless it's explained to you, as I do in this book, how the economy really works under a free market system and why our founders set the government up in a way to control and keep the federal government especially under control, under 18 enumerated powers. You know, it's expanded to thousands of powers now. And there's a reason why we're in the mess that we are in right now is because they have walked all over the Constitution, and as a consequence, we now have basically a bloated government that has its own mind, its own will, and so forth, that exerts it over the people rather than the other way around. The people should be in control of the government. We're not anymore. And the only way to get that is to elect the right people back into office and begin to shrink this government. We can't do it in one election. But at the same time, we need to start, and that start has to happen now.
Yeah, well, I found something doing research for this last night, that people can actually go into the International Council of Local Environmental Incentives, and we'll
yes.
talk about what that is. They can go directly into that website and find out if their town, city, county is part of Agenda 21. And matter of fact, here in South Carolina, just this past year, they tried to implement Agenda 21 along what we call the I-95 corridor, also known as the corridor of shame that they did so much about on the TV broadcast. And we actually were able, our state legislature was going to vote Agenda 21 in. And we went and just hit the phones, every single Tea Party here in South Carolina, and we stopped them and we turned the tide and we said, no, we don't want it here. And, you know, this is why what you're saying is you've got to start at the local level. Folks,
you really
do. Where your town is.
And I want to support something you're saying there, Ann, is that you had a network where you could actually call on people to do this, and they responded. I stopped the ratification of the Convention on Biological Diversity in somewhat the same way. We can talk about that later, just an hour before it was to be ratified. But the fact is that you guys have started what is called the thirdrailradio.com, which is the whole concept town crier program, where if you sign up and you agree that you will spread this message as much as you can actually increase across your area tremendously. And I would really, really advise that you get that find that out by going on the thirdrailradio.com and checking it out. One thing I liked about it, Ann, was the fact that you're not going to take every issue on. I mean, you just cannot do that because you overload people and they become desensitized. You will pick out select issues where you can collectively take a shot at it, just like you did with ICLEI. ICLEI basically was spawned by the United Nations a number of years ago to come into local communities and actually create planning guidelines and so forth for counties and cities and so forth that will implement Agenda 21 requirements right in your local community. And hundreds of local communities have now kicked ICLEI out of their cities and communities and so forth. The problem is that many of them still have in their ordinances what ICLEI had advanced in the first place, and they need to get rid of those ordinances as well.
Yeah, if anyone's interested in finding out, I put it up in the chat room. It's www.icle. You can very easily remember because it's ICLI, ICLIE.org. And just make sure, see if your town, city, county is part of it. Agenda 21 things can be something as simple as a green initiative that you think is so wonderful, but when they turn around and tell you, no, we'd rather have you use the bicycle or take the city bus and not use your car, start thinking about Agenda 21, guys.
I have a question for the doc real quick, and I don't know that you could actually answer this. It may take this to a new level, and if you don't, you don't. But who's behind all of this? I know we say the UN, but is there a so-called Illuminati? Is it just the UN in general? Because I know the UN basically is looking to tariff and tax globally, that somehow
right.
they should be getting kickbacks on everything. But from all of your assessments, help me here.
Well, I have some of this in my book. I don't have a lot of it in my book because it's a book in itself. But Carol Quigley, back in 1965, 66, wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope, in which he actually had access to what is a international cartel of financiers, bankers, and so forth, and key industries, in which they have put together a system where they, by funding candidates and so forth, control the political party of the nations that they're involved in, and everything is being centered in the central banks of those individual nations. Ironically, Frank Dodd Act, Financial Reform Act of 2010, is it? I think it was. Basically, allows our Federal Reserve, which is a private, it's not government controlled, it's a private group, mostly controlled by Europeans, that now have access over our economy and making sure that the industries and so forth comply with some of the new laws that are coming out and so forth. It is abhorrent. It is unbelievable how they have given power to our central bank basically to control our economy. And this is right out of Carol Quigley's book written back in the 1960s. They're far along this road to implementing this type of control in all the various nations around the world. They exert tremendous control. Some people say direct control. I'm not going to go so far to say that. But they have tremendous influence over the types of decisions that are made for policy formulation in almost every government of the world. And they brag about it.
Wow. Absolutely wow. Now, given the fact we have seen a movement, at least early in this primary season, at least 7 out of every 10 winners of primaries appear to be veterans and very constitutional-type people. Are these the type of people who can really take it back? Because you had mentioned how far we've moved. And you even when you said that earlier, Doctor, I don't know, it just seemed like in your voice it was almost – yeah, we can still get it back. I mean, can these people actually crush whatever it is that is infiltrating?
I think they can, but it's not until the American people in general begin to understand how they have been lied to over really the last 100 years. I spend a whole chapter discussing how the progressive ideology took over Europe way back in the 1800s, how that happened, what kind of things they believed in those particular days. And it's exactly what we're seeing happening today. It is really astonishing. It really is astonishing. That's why this book, I think, is so popular from people who actually have read it, is all of a sudden their eyes are opened up. This isn't something that's just happening today. This has been ongoing for over 100 years. And the ideology of progressivism is so utterly destructive that we need to stop it as quickly as we possibly can. Now, we can't undo 100 years of bad laws overnight. I mean, obviously, it's got to be done, but we've got to start somewhere, and I think this November, and if we get enough constitutionally oriented individuals in Congress, in our state legislatures, in our city councils and county commissioners and so forth, we can begin to stepwise these things back. There are solutions. There are free market solutions. Paul Ryan has outlined some of them. I don't think he goes far enough, but at least he is beginning to look in the right direction. Romney, theoretically, is looking in the right direction. I'm not as confident in him as I am with Ryan in the direction that he wants to go. But nonetheless, there are ways of staving this off. We still may be caught off. If Europe goes next year, it might even be the end of this year, it's going to cause tremendous harm to us as well. But we've got to keep our eyes focused on the ball and what could be a major, major disaster if we continue to go down the road that we're on right now can at least be slowed down and maybe even stopped and begin to be reversed over the next 4 years. That is what I'm hoping really happens. I think there's that opportunity. I believe it, or I wouldn't even be on this radio program if I thought it was hopeless. I really do think there is an alternative, and it's a workable alternative, but I do think we're likely to go through a period of a lot of pain.
Where do you believe sorry, Annie, just a quick one more quick question. Let's just say, for example, you were a consigliere to Romney. He is elected. And he looks to you and he says, Doc Thoffman, give me a couple of quick moves at a president. Because obviously, as you mentioned, it needs to change at the local levels, state levels, and build up. But if he were to ask you, as my counsel, a couple things that really make a punch, something that really sends, really hits the enemy in the face or the bad guys, quote unquote, what would be your suggestion?
Number one is get rid of the Department of Education. Absolutely. We have to get rid of the federal government has no business being in education. Absolutely none. Because what they have done is basically establish a national testing authority in which the teachers have to test to whatever the test really responds to, and that is very, very corrupted. Very corrupted. So we need to get rid of the Department of Education. Just wipe it clean. Try to find some other jobs for these people. I don't mean just cut them off completely, but nonetheless. The other thing is, right now, the EPA is becoming the high priest of the environment in America. It is literally on a destructive course that will destroy us economically. The MACT laws and so forth, rules that they're imposing right now, could shut off almost 25% of our power production over the next 10 or 15 years. It is really, really, really bad. It is beyond anything that anybody could possibly imagine sitting out there in the listening audience right now. And when that happens, our economy is totally dependent upon cheap energy, very dependent upon cheap energy. If we had the time, I could go into why this alternative green energy will not work right now. I have hopes for it in the future when new technology comes online. But with the current technology, there is no way that it can work, absolutely none. And yet we are spending billions and billions of dollars in subsidies trying to get green energy to work, and it's sucking the economy right down clean. And this new boiler mat rules that are coming out of EPA could shut down 25% of our electrical power production, increase double the cost of gasoline and home heating. And I can go on and on. It is really outrageous. These people have no sense of responsibility whatsoever. Their eyes are the color of green, and anything that if Al Gore, back in his 1994 book, Earth in the Balance, basically said that we have to make a radical change in our economy and make the environment the central organizing principle of the economy. Well, that's what this EPA rulemaking is doing. We need to get rid of the EPA. Just wipe it off the books. It was never approved by Congress. It was created out of thin air by Nixon, and it's time for it to go. It has done a good job in some ways. I'm not saying it's not, nor am I saying that we should just be allowed to do anything we want to. But I don't think there's anything we can do to save the EPA. We might want to create another organization that has far less power, that is able to maintain some of the better rules that we've created over the last 30 years. But right now, the EPA is the biggest threat to this country that we have.
Well, one of the reasons why the progressives don't want the EPA to go is one of the major portions of Agenda 21 is to be able to ration
yes.
energy, and that's exactly what they're doing. But I understand there was a court that overturned the EPA's ruling against the coal plants. And they're saying, no, you can't impose those limits on them. But I'm sure that's going to end up in the Supreme Court somewhere along the way, too.
Yes, I agree. And already the Supreme Court and other courts have ruled against the Obama administration, but Obama just ignores them, just basically brushes them off and goes about what he wants to do anyway. He's becoming basically a king. And he's announced that. That's what's so astonishing. How could any American look at President Obama and what he is doing by just creating law out of thin air and violating the Constitution, violating other laws that have been actually created by Congress or state governments, just discount them entirely and just do what he wants to do. How could they ever, ever support someone like that? That is why I'm saying that right now we are so indoctrinated by our public education system that we cannot see clearly, and I'm just hoping people will get this book and begin to understand how they have been lied to, because they have. It's been horrible. By the way, if you're interested in this book, I do have a website for it. It's called AmericaPlundered.com, AmericaPlundered.com, and you can take a look at the first chapter and some of the other reviews and so forth that have happened, because it is a very, very powerful book from what I've – you know what? The author really doesn't know until he has released it how good it is, a book is, because it's good to his eyes. But I have been getting nothing but rave reviews on this book. I mean, it's just opened up thousands of people's eyes as they've read it.
How about, yeah, how about going the adults? Go ahead, Andy.
I'll say again.
I'm sorry. I put up in the chat room the Amazon location also of your book if people want to go to Amazon and actually buy it right now.
Yeah, you can do that. You can also download it. I have it in Kindle format, so you can download it in the Kindle format too.
I love those type of formats. It just makes reading for me a lot easier. I know Annie loves a book. She loves a good book. And
holding her hands, right, Annie?
Absolutely. I love to feel the pages and love knowing that I pulled the tree just to get it.
Another question for you, Doc. Help me with a second. How come you had clearly mentioned George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, who I believe before Clinton, before Obama came along, is the worst president in our history. Were their parents indoctrinated who indoctrinated them? Or how does, based on an educated guess from you, because clearly, I mean, it's almost as if the parties are putting up a big party front. I'm for this side, yay, and I'm for this side, yay. When really, basically, there's someone above, they're the puppets of somebody above them controlling the way they move.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I go into it to some extent in the book Plundered. But it's one of those things where I can actually directly tie back the Bush family right back to the original banking cartel 100 years ago. I mean, it's right there. There's a direct lineage to this cartel that comes that goes back at least 100 years in the Bush family. Now, I'm not saying that every Bush, I'm not saying that every George W. Bush, for instance, or W. Walker Bush or whatever, were diehards in these particular areas. But you remember that George W., whatever, the first president, talked about having the New World Order. That's the New World Order, if you trace back its origins of where it came from a very occult organization called Theosophy and Alice Bailey. And what she was doing in listening to what her ascended master said, do all call. That's where that word, that's where that phrase come from, is from those writings of a supposed ascended master that Alice Bailey wrote automatically, was the New World Order. When you start seeing that kind of thing, you really have to be suspicious of what's going on. And even with Romney, if you look back with Romney, basically you will see the establishment, what I'll call the establishment, which I believe is really kind of the where all of this comes together by the global elite. He had all kinds of funds. He had all kinds of media exposure. Not all of it was positive, but you know, any media exposure is better than no media exposure. And he basically was the sweetheart to get the Republican nomination. Now, I'm hoping that he basically does what he says he's going to do. But, you know, that's a pretty big hope. I don't know that that's going to be the case, but anything would be better at this point than Obama. I know some people in the listening audience are going to argue with me, how can you possibly vote for someone who's really not that much better than Obama? I would agree. At least he's looking at it from a different direction in his background. What he is actually able to accomplish in his life shows that he could do it if he wants to. And so that's the thing that I'm grasping onto right now, is that he will bring us out of this mess. Whether he does or not, if he's elected, I don't know. We'll see. But we can put tremendous pressure on him, especially if we had a Congress that was dominated now by constitutionally literate representatives and senators.
Based on your experience, Doc, would you say that John F. Kennedy had an agenda to get America back on course?
If you look at what he was doing, he was trying to get us off of the Federal Reserve and creating his own federal banknotes from the Department of Treasury, which is what the Constitution calls for, and backed by silver dollars or by silver and so forth. And then all of a sudden, when he just started that program, all of a sudden he was assassinated. Now, you can't make the connection that that's one is related to the other. But it's highly suspicious that the actions that he was taking as president was flying right in the face of this global cartel. And that's maybe one of the reasons that he was marked for elimination. It's tragic. I hope that's not the case. But the connection there is too strong to ignore.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, one thing we do have a little hope for is that when they just had the GOP convention in Tampa, part of their platform is to overturn and undo everything about Agenda 21. So,
yes.
You know, there is hope out there. Now, you were mentioning banking. Now, how is George Soros tied into all this Agenda 21?
Well, George Soros is kind of a maverick of his own. He's part of this so-called global cartel now. It didn't start out that way, obviously. But he basically built the wealth necessary to join the cartel. And somewhere along the way, I don't know where it was, I've written several articles on Soros. Basically, back when he was hiding from the Nazis, because he was originally – he's from Jewish heritage. And they knew he knew he was after him. And his father renamed him, gave him a different name so that he would not be recognized as being a Jew, and allowed – one of the officials, I believe it was in, I can't remember the nation that they were in at that particular point in time, but he went around actually condemning other Jews and sending them basically to the gas chamber. Whether he knew for sure that that's what was going to happen to them, I don't know. Certainly his parents wound up in the gas chamber. And he says that did not have any effect on him. I can't imagine it would not have an effect. I just cannot imagine that it would not have some really psychological effects on an individual. And I think that has distorted his ability to reason and have rationale. And he's actually said it. He must bring down the United States. He says the United States needs to be brought down. The United States is the biggest problem in this world right now. And how he has arrived at that conclusion, I have no idea. Excuse me.
I have to get you some water there, Dr. Coffin.
Yes, in fact, I will take a swallow.
If these billionaires, I mean, isn't these billionaires have investments and business, isn't a prosperous globe? I mean, this would just make them filthy, filthy rich beyond Everest. What is it, just power over the people they want, or control? Because it seems like if it were money, I mean, a booming global economy would make these people quadrillionaires.
You know, I have wondered about that myself. And I don't know the full answer. I can speculate just a little bit, give you some ideas. First of all, it's not about money. It's about power. They want power. They want absolute power. Everyone that's listening to this wants power. Excuse me.
Hey, Doc, go ahead. Annie, you want to take a quick break? Let the doc.
Yeah, if you can. You want to play Todd Allen Harrington? Can you pull that up?
Okay, I'm sorry. I said, you want to take a quick break? Let the doc grab some water, and we'll.
Yes.
I'd like to play that piece on Gary Sinise. If you want to tell me what it's labeled, I'll type it in there.
I have it under PSA. Might be underneath Gary Sinise.
Okay, yep, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Doc, you get some water. We got a couple things going on. I'm going to play this piece and then play another piece. Well, the Doc, what do we have this weekend? Well, my friends, as always, Southern Sense, we are a pro-veteran-friendly program, and next week our beautiful Southern Belle will be broadcasting again on the road. Just can't keep this rebel at home now, can we? And here's where she's going to be.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Please join me this September 15th when, along with the Lieutenant Dan Band, I will return to Beaufort, South Carolina for the third annual Lieutenant Dan Weekend for an evening of fun, music, and show of support for our nation's military and their families. We'd also like to invite you or your company to join us in showing thanks to our nation's most severely wounded veterans by honoring a hero of your choice with a freedom flag. These freedom flags will be flown at the concert and are a perfect way to honor a special veteran in your life. 100% of the tax-deductible donation for a freedom flag will be used by all the Volunteer Independence Fund to support those most severely wounded veterans of the War on Terror. Myself and the rest of the Lieutenant Dan Band look forward to seeing you all once again this September, and I thank you for your support.
Have we as taxpayers lost our backbone and our way? Why are unelected officials telling we the people what type of light bulbs and toilets we can use? It's time to remind all of government they work for us and not vice versa. We have a daily obligation to defend the Constitution of the United States against all our enemies. This is not an option. This is our duty. This republic will only stand as long as you and I are willing to fight for it. We know Washington, D.C. won't. Are you aware a record number of veterans are running for political office this year? In fine style and grace, these heroes won the war abroad. Now let's stand them with them in the second American Revolution, because unlike Congress, their patriotism is not for sale. On May 8th, the state of Indiana fired a career senator. Now it's our turn. We the people need to throw off such government right now and provide new guards for the future security. So get involved. Find out who's running for office and take a stand. I am Cool Mike of Blog Talk Radio. Let's show the world we have taken back our homeland, reclaimed our republic, and that the United States of America is back in business.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Sam from Playboy Energy.
You're listening to Annie and Cool Mike.
Only on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, welcome back. I don't get to do the PSAs often, so I like to play with the keyboards. But glad to have you back, everyone. I am Cool Mike, along with the number one host and number one show in all of BTR land, Annie. Well, I got to play my little piece there, Reclaim Our Republic. And joining us is Dr. Kaufman. Wow, what a great show this has been. I'll tell you, back-to-back, we had great shows last week talking about not only our veterans, but talking about reclaiming our republic. And Dr. Kaufman, hopefully you are back and you got your wet your whistle and got that frog.
I hope so, too. It sounds like I have, so let's go ahead. What I was talking about before I got all choked up was the fact that the global elite, there's several different alternatives as to why they're doing this. And I think the biggest one is probably power. It's usually the one that is the great seducer of all men, because you want to control your own destiny. And other people get in the way of doing that. And if you have control over those other people, you can roll right over the top of them. And that's one of the things that they're doing. It's not just money, it's power. But there's another element that I wrote about back in 1992 in my book, Saviors of the Earth, and that is that many of these global elitists, I don't know if it's all of them, I just no way of knowing, but many of them actually believe that the earth is a living, sentient God. Basically, that nature is God and that we must protect nature at all costs. This is what Al Gore and his Earth in the Balance book really features, if you have ever read that book. It's back in 1994. And what he basically says is that we must make the earth the central organizing principle of our economy, because we must protect Mother Earth. He goes into I'm not going to get into that book, but nonetheless, he basically supports this premise. And many of the mainstream environmental organizations around the world and so forth do the same thing. And when you start looking at what the Club of Rome has done, which is a very occult organization, and who belongs to it, basically they have a religious reason for doing what they're doing at this particular point in time as well, and that is the fact that they believe that nature is God and must be protected. And they actually, one of the things that I was able to use in stopping the Convention on Biological Diversity from being ratified back in 1994 was the premise in what is known as the Global Biodiversity Assessment, which explained the treaty, was that they wanted to take us back to the old feudal system. This is the type of system that basically Rousseau was responsible for perpetuating, where the state controls everything. The only thing that Rousseau did was shift it from the nobility and the Catholic Church at the time, which I explained in my book, to the government. Well, the government is still a political entity that's going to want to say, achieve power at almost any cost that it can. And as a result, what we're seeing here in socialism now is a very strong bent because of what the global elite, the Club of Rome, and others have tried to do into a religious phenomenon. It's really, I'm not going to get into any great detail, but it basically is really counter civilization. I can't explain it because we don't have time enough, but basically it goes against the entire concept of civilization as we know it. And they are looking to achieve that. It's really astonishing. That is one of the other kinds of attributes that the global elite probably uses as a motivating factor. And I don't know how many of them are involved in that, but it's not a small number.
Well, wow. It brings me back again to Agenda 21 and something else. You mentioned the Board of Education, and this is something I'm finding more and more prevalent, and it's really scaring the bejesus out of me, is that they're trying to direct the development of each individual. So in other words, if you're growing up and you've got a potential to be, say, for example, another Barack Obama, they're going to determine whether or not you're of the social standing where you can achieve that.
Yes.
Or they're going to relegate you to becoming a garbage collector.
That's right. And understand that. That's what all of these new programs ultimately are designed to do, is to control the individual as to what he finally winds up learning when he graduates. It's astonishing. I have two chapters in my book that explain this, Book Plundered, that explain this in detail as to how they're using psychology to basically brainwash the students without them really fully understanding it. And if you are out there wondering if you're one of them, if you basically went to school in an urban school system, you probably are. If it's a rural school system, if it's more than 20 years ago, you may not be, but it's really encroaching upon rural school systems as well, public school systems as well. And, of course, you just have a few textbook makers, and this stuff is ingrained in all the text. It's built not on facts, and this is one of the things that I go into in the book and in my public appearances and so forth where I give talks, is that I use video clips of different meetings back in the 70s and 80s and 90s and so forth, where the actual leaders talk about how they are changing the public educational system to brainwash us. They're no longer giving facts. They're controlling the students' input by what they're taught in feelings and emotions and so forth, and basing our economy or all of our policy on emotion, not facts. And boy, I can't tell you, folks, you cannot survive as a nation on emotion. It has to be built on facts. That's tempered with the emotion. We just certainly do not want to have an emotionless government and so forth. But you have to base your primary premise on the facts of reality. And that's one of the things that the progressives cannot do. Literally have done psychological studies showing they cannot connect to reality. Literally cannot. And we have our Congress and our Senate and our state legislatures and county commissioners and so forth full of these progressives because they desire power. They lust for power. And therefore, they may manage to get in these positions of power and then start to wield their very, very destructive ideology into policy formulation that just doesn't work.
Wow. Now, it's funny because I got into a debate with, believe it or not, my surgeon, and I was trying to explain to him why unemployment is not working the way it's doing. And I'm trying to explain to him, and I finally said, you know, think of it this way. The way they've got everything set up, it's a snake eating its own tail. And sooner or later, it's going to get back up to its head and have nothing left to eat.
Yeah, you know, Margaret Thatcher once said that socialism works great as long as you have other people's money to pay for it. And that's exactly what you're describing there, is that we're eating ourselves. It can't last forever. It's finally reached the culmination point in Europe. You know, I want to give one little quick tip before we leave. Ironically, Sweden in Europe, one of the most socialistic nations in Europe up until 10 years ago, all of a sudden they realized this wasn't working, and they made some dramatic changes. They changed their welfare system. They changed everything. And what the one nation that has survived this economic crisis in Europe is Sweden, because it went back to a more free market system where you just didn't hand out free goodies to everyone and so forth. And they have been saved pretty much any consequences, severe consequences, of the recession that Europe is undergoing right now. So it works. Basically, the free market system works because it allows the human initiative and innovation and creative forces to work primarily for self-satisfaction as well as gain and so forth. It's not greed. It's self-interest. And basically, the Obama approach is dividing the pie, never increasing it, amongst smaller and smaller portions as the population increases. That's really what we're talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Mike, I know you're dying with a ton of more questions.
Well, I know we're going to lose him fairly soon, but a couple quick. How can people get a hold of you? How can people write you? I've already actually written the librarian about the book, but getting it at our library. But how do we get in touch with you? I could keep you here for 10 hours because Annie, let everyone know before he gets his information, he has verified that Bush family, a bunch of crooks. As soon as I become president, I'm putting all of the Bush family on trial, including the grandkids. criminals.
Anyway, you can get a hold of us. Our email. My email address is mkaufman. Or no, sorry, I'm going to give you a different one. It's epinc@roadrunner.com. epinc@roadrunner.com. And the book's website is AmericaPlundered.com, AmericaPlundered.com, and our Environmental Perspectives website is epi-us.com, epi-us.com.
And they can also get you on ThirdRailRadio.com, too, where I am a town crier.
Great. Fantastic.
Okay. In closing, a quick question. What do you take of the primary election this season? I mean, Ted Cruz, it seems like an awful lot of the right people are overthrowing incumbents.
Yes.
Is that
my imagination? That's very encouraging. No, it's very encouraging. We saw a little bit of that happen in 2010, and we're seeing more of it happen in this current 2012 election cycle. And we need to see a lot more of it, especially over the next 2 months before the election. The primaries are over, obviously, but the fact is all of us need to get involved. Put some shoe leather on the pavement and get involved supporting a candidate that you know that you can support. It could be dog catcher as far as I know, but we need to support the right person for the right job. And the more you do that, the more likely it is that we'll start to take this nation back to constitutional principles and foundations.
I don't even know. I don't even know how to say thank you or to say goodbye. It's like, Annie, let's extend the show 8 hours and just keep them.
Well, I can come back again in a few weeks if you want me. Well, no, I'll be on the road a lot.
I'll tell you what, Doc. Let me close with this. When did lightning strike you? We have you here on the show, obviously an author. I mean, you're obviously very educated and you're on the road. When did the lightning hit you where you thought, like, you know what? It's time for Dr. Kaufman to get involved in this.
Well, it was back in actually 1992, actually before that, but it was in 1991 when the Clean Air Act was reauthorized. I had worked on millions and millions of dollars of research, had guided millions of dollars of research on the effects of acid rain and global climate change on our nation's forests at that time. And I knew all the scientists and so forth. And a major report, and the federal government has spent over $1 billion of your taxpayer money on this kind of research as well as what I was doing. And basically it said that we had a problem, but it couldn't be taken care of without a huge change in our laws. Well, when the Clean Air Act was reauthorized in 1991, it had nothing about this research that was in there, absolutely nothing. It basically was a political agenda to shut down the economy of the United States. And I looked at that and I said, you know, I could be the best scientist in the world, but this is all politicized. They're not paying attention to the science at all. And that's when I shifted from being a scientist to being a political scientist and trying to help people understand really what was going on.
Wow. Imagine that. Our own government lying to us, Annie. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Wow.
No,
doctor, thank you so much. Thank you so much,
you're
Doc.
Welcome.
You know, you're welcome to co-host anytime too. You just call in. You don't even need to ask. Just jump right in and get your hands dirty. Thank you so much. Wow.
You're welcome.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, that is wow.
Dr. Michael Kaufman.
That,
yeah, very
that
excellent.
Is just,
guest.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. It's just there is more information in the hour that we had Dr. Kaufman on. The last four shows. Wow. I mean, this is just like an encyclopedia of what is taking place. Home run, Annie. Man.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get the word out there because people hear Agenda 21, they say, oh, no, it's just some conspiracy theorist. But when you hear someone out there starting to say sustainability, sustainable development, those two keywords should send you running for the hills because anything to do with sustainability and sustainable development is Agenda 21. And I was thumbing through my notes, and I've got like 8 pages of notes I put up together last night. I hadn't gone through half of the stuff I was going to talk about. And, you know, one of the things inside Agenda 21 is that we as a nation, if we decide to use some of our resources, should it adversely affect any other country? Say, for example, we decide to drill for oil, which causes oil prices to drop. Gee, we may be affecting the profits in Iran, but we can't do that. We have to go over and say, may I, to Iran, and of course Iran's going to say, no, you can't. So then we'll be prohibited from using our own resources because it may adversely affect another country. Is that scary?
That's more than scary. And again, I mean, here it is. This is, it's basically the minorities rule type philosophy. I mean, it just, it's so scary. Do we want to go ahead and do our dedication now?
Yeah, let me pull that up. And this is going to be to an Army Army Specialist, Randy A. Acosta. So if you can pull up the Army background there, and we'll go forward. Anyone that listens to our show knows that every show is dedicated to a fallen military hero. And today we picked out Army Specialist Rudy A. Acosta. Army Specialist Rudy A. Acosta, age 19, of Canyon Country, was killed by Afghan security contractor. He served as a medic for 9 months and was only 6 weeks away from completing his tour of duty and was planning to become a sergeant. Dateline from the LA Times, April 10, 2011. On March 19th, he was among several soldiers at a U.S. military base in southern Afghanistan's Kandahar province on the Pakistani border. They were cleaning their weapons before a planned patrol when an Afghan contractor hired to help guard the base approached, opened fire with a machine gun. Acosta was killed in a spray of bullets, along with Corporal Donald R. Meckler, Jr., 29, of Bucharest, Ohio, according to the Pentagon. 4 other soldiers were wounded. Other U.S. soldiers returned fire and killed the gunman. Acosta and Meckler were both assigned to the 4th Squadron, 2nd Striker Cavalry Regiment in Bielefeld, Germany. A strong jawed former football player, Acosta was remembered by fellow soldiers and family members as a skilled and compassionate medic who was guided by his deep Christian faith. He had a heart for people, said his father, Dante Acosta. He said he last spoke to his son a few weeks before his death. In a long phone conversation, he asked about his mother, Carolyn, his younger sister and brother, and his friends from the tight-knit Santa Clarita Christian School he attended for 13 years, his father said. Acosta grew up in Santa Clarita's Canyon Country community in a quiet cul-de-sac surrounded by sloping canyons dotted with yucca and sage. He was a well-rounded kid, a history buff, who in his senior year of high school starred in a school theater production and played on its state champion football team. He was the full package, said Derek Swales, principal of Santa Clarita Christian School. Acosta enlisted in the Army in a delayed entry program even before he graduated from high school in 2009. Both of his grandfathers served in the military, one during World War II and the other during the Korean War. And his parents had friends in the armed services. After training as a medic, he deployed to Afghanistan in July 2010. The Army changed and focused him, Swales said. He came back a man. Swales saw Acosta in January, when the young soldier took time from his two-week home leave to give presentations to the school students about his war experiences. Along with the descriptions of combat missions, he shared a lighter anecdote, a story about a bet he made with fellow soldiers in which he had to drink an entire bottle of Tabasco sauce followed by a Mountain Dew. When Acosta's father heard that story, he laughed. He was still a 19-year-old teenager, he said. He loved to laugh and smile and make people's day. In the Army, Acosta discovered a passion for medicine, his father said. He hoped to stay in the military and train as a surgeon. Acosta often posted Bible passages on his Facebook page, but his last post alluded to the impending end of his tour of duty. I can almost taste it, he wrote. His father is furious about the circumstances of his son's death. Only American soldiers should be standing guard on America's stations, he said. Soldiers on base shouldn't have to be looking over their shoulder. He said he plans to campaign to change a military policy that allows contractors to guard bases. On March 31st, when Acosta was buried in his hometown, a procession through the city drew thousands to the streets. Banners bearing his portrait were hung from overpasses, and the sidewalks were lined with school children, firefighters, and city council members. It was a Norman Rockwell moment, Swales said. A motorcade started at Acosta School and passed by the Army recruiting station where he was enlisted. It drove past the hospital where he was born, past the State Department of Motor Vehicles office where he got his driver's license, and by a park memorializing veterans. It ended at Eternal Valley Memorial Park, where Acosta was buried with full military honors. This piece was written in the L.A. Times, April of 2011. And for that, and for all the military men and women out there, and for Specialist Acosta, we dedicate My Name is America by Todd Allen Herndon, and you can find them up on YouTube and download the song for free.
Of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll rise up from the flames, and I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. My strength was not taken from others, others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
The pro that he was working with was also a veteran who lost one arm and then the opposing leg. And he's the one telling him how to hit the swing. And he's got other veterans with him, and they're telling him the distance and the wind and the curve and everything. And he just listened to them, and they would tap the edge of the cup so he could hear where it was. And by using only that, what they were telling him and his hearing, he hit the putt. He made the hole. And it's absolutely amazing. And then you listen to the other stories. They have these new cards. They cost about $27,000, between 29 and 27. And they look like miniature golf carts, but they're actually sort of like a combination between a golf cart and a wheelchair so that the vet can sit in it, and it will raise them up so they can do a swing as if they're standing. Or they can use this when they go fishing. And this is what the Independence Fund does. They get this equipment for these veterans because, you know, Bob, when they leave the VA hospital, they're on their own. So unless you have something like Wounded Warrior or the Independence Fund, these guys are on their own. And that's why I love working with them, because they can't be left. You can't stop doing it. You can't stop getting there out there, and that we still owe them.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
and
that's a great,
Bob, what kind
great
of music do you guys play?
Well, my particular group plays a lot of like bluesy stuff, and it touches not just what a lot of people think what blues may be, but it's, you know, there's some rocking stuff in there, some gospel flavor. It all touches on blues, so it kind of like mixes with gospel, mixes with rock, mixes with some jazz, mixes with swing, New Orleans, Latin stuff, bluesy stuff.
Sweet.
It touches on all those different styles, basically, my group. So
sweet. That's
and,
awesome.
And it's
great that you do that too, Bob. I mean, you know what? You want to find a hero? I mean, go to your veterans facility. Doesn't matter whether they're the age of 18 or 118. I mean, there's where your true heroes are.
Yeah, actually, Annie and Mike, playing, you know, at Walter Reed a couple of different times kind of inspired me, and another veteran of mine, who's a best buddy of mine, who's a Vietnam veteran who I actually revere. He was in the Army back then, but even though he was in the Army, he's still my hero. It kind of inspired me and him to start a nonprofit organization, and it's for boosting and maintaining troop morale and supporting that. And it's small, it's new and all that stuff, but, you know, it was so inspirational that I actually – anybody knows me knows I don't like to write. And I can do it real well, but I just don't like to do it. It's drudgery, and I always have an initial writer's block that lasts forever. And once I get over that, I can write songs or whatever. But – to get me to write something is really putting the square peg in the round hole, you know what I mean, in my own mind. And I literally had to write a mountain of stuff for the IRS to get a 501c3 status. And for me to do that, that shows you that, you know, how inspirational some of these kids were at Walter Reed, you know. And we actually got the 501c3 status and all that stuff, and where people can actually take, you know, get tax deductions for write-offs for donations and all that good stuff. And so that's kind of like what started it all, really, was going down to Walter Reed that first time. And you know, I figured, what the heck, man? It's like, you know, just one more way for, you know, to give back a little bit, hopefully.
Well, Bob, is there some place that people can go where they can listen to your music? Do you have, like, a website, or do you have a CD out there?
Actually, yeah, you can go on myspace.com/bluesunchained. That'll be our page on there. There's, like, 5 or 6 songs, I think, on there, and maybe a little. I'm not sure if there's video on there anymore, but because MySpace changed, you know, a couple years back. But there's 5 songs, including one song on there that we actually did record live at Walter Reed. It's called Chickadee. It's a song called Chickadee that we recorded live, and that was really cool because you know, we had video and multi-track recording, so we were able to put like really good mixes on the thing, and it's that actual song is actually ready for a record now, so. That's on there, myspace.com/bluesunchained, and you can hear that particular tune.
So, that was Blues Unchained?
Blues Unchained, yep.
Blues Unchained. We'll post that in there.
Unchained.
Well, anyway,
Unchained, like past tense. Yeah, Unchained.
Okay. Well, thanks, Bob. We appreciate it as we sign off. Also, note,
sure.
Bob, GGT and I and Sarge will be back shortly, so get ready to go at it with me. Bob, Annie, if you have not ever listened to Bob and I debate, here's where you get... very good BTR shows. Enough of these yes shows where they're all, yeah, so I agree with you. Oh, you're so smart, Jesus. Make me fall asleep with all those shows. But anyway, we will be back. Jermaine is 100% recovered, by the way. So he did some family time, and that's another great kind of story within the BTR story. As you know, all Jermaine's been talking about, not only his family, but getting back to the show. I mean, it's just a just really just a terrific thing. Just so many great stories here on BTR. All righty, Annie, you want to sign off, and we're going to we'll make our exit here.
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone, well, we will be back on Friday, and our special guest on Friday is an author that's going around on all the local shows. You're going to see him on The Tonight Show. You've probably seen him over on Fox News. Rich Nittner, who's written a book about Obama and the White House staff, Leading from Behind. I'm in the midst of reading it, and it's a fantastic read. There's certain details in there that you will turn around going, oh, my God, I didn't know that. And then you say, oh, now I connect the dots. It's a fantastic book, Leading from Behind by Rich Nittner, and he'll be our guest on Friday. And then next week we have our show on September 11th, and we can only do a tribute to the victims of 9/11, and we'll do a tribute to 9/11 on that one, followed by our Independence Fund golf outing, the Lieutenant Dan Weekend over at Cat Island here in South Carolina. We'll broadcast live, and we'll have the veterans on the air with us, and we'll be able to call in and talk to them. And then we have a new guest lined up for the following week, that Tuesday. Beth Ward has a book out called Dying in Indian Country. Fantastic book also. I just finished that one last week, and we'll have her on. So we've got three shows lining up, actually now four shows lined up, and you'll have fantastic guests as always. So Cool Mike, we'll be back and rocking and rolling again on Friday.
Amen. On behalf of Annie from Southern Sense, this is Cool Mike. Everybody, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good night, and God bless.